Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. Yeah. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
A very, very good afternoon. Welcome to it. A blue sky in Sydney at ANZ Stadium for this afternoon's game at 4 o'clock between the Rabbitohs, the home team today, up against the high-flying Penrith Panthers. My name is Anthony Maroon. Joining me today, a couple of changes. Ryan Girdler is here, though. Hello, Girds.
Hey, Maroon.
You had a busy schedule coming up because you're filling in for the grill team on Triple M in Sydney.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, then obviously Origin next week, so a couple of big weeks ahead. Can't wait.
Good to see you, mate. And Jamie Soward in off the bench for two people. No Kenty today and no Gordon Tallis. So good to have you in as well, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to today's game.
And, of course, Gordy is at the Gordon Tallis knockout in Townsville.
Yeah, you'll get knocked out.
Paul Kent is at the Manny Pacquiao fight. I'll come to that very shortly. A couple of big games coming up today. Of course, we've got the West Tigers and Newcastle Knights at 2 o'clock. We'll give you full score updates on that. We'll call that game at 4 as well. The Panthers and the Rabbitohs here at ANZ Stadium. 1 o'clock, Jake Trbojevic from the Manly Seagulls joins us. 1:30, we'll cross to Gordy Tallis. We'll catch up with Kenty at the fight as well. And all the rugby league news, you'll hear it right here. But, of course, the big thing in Australian sport at the moment is Manny Pacquiao and Jeff Horn in Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium for this massive boxing bout. And courtesy of Foxtel, if you want to get the fight, by the way, on Main Event, you still can. The number is 131999. Have a listen to this piece from Foxtel, voice from Matty Nabel. It's absolutely brilliant. Have a listen to this.
Oh, Father, tell me, do we get what we deserve?
This is a battle between night and day. Between left and right, first and last, never and always.
And where down we go,
the long and short of it is Manny Pacquiao today fights Jeff Horn for the WBO Welterweight Championship of the World. Pacquiao, the Pac-Man, an 11-time world champion in 8 separate weight divisions. The only ever to do so. A current senator and most probably future president of the Philippines, Pacquiao has fought all the greats of his era in some of the biggest wars of the last 20 years.
It's all over, the fight is stopped. A tremendous victory for Manny Pacquiao.
Beating Hall of Famers Oscar De La Hoya and Marco Antonio Barrera, not once, but twice. Beating Marquez twice. Mosley, Morales twice, and he knocked out Ricky Hatton, you know, the Brit who dethroned Kostya Zou.
Ricky Hatton is done.
Pacquiao combines slick hand speed with raw power. His angle's his greatest trick, how he comes in from one direction and disappears out another, somehow surrounding his opponent. For all his greatness, he's 38 now. Pacquiao, aging, and hasn't known a knockout since the November of 2009. Jeff Horn. He's almost a decade younger. The subject of a classically uplifting story normally reserved for Hollywood scripts. He's never beaten. Some fear Randall Bailey is too big a step up. The Hornet retires him in the 7th. Rico Mueller, too experienced, that's what they say, puts him through the ropes in the 9th. Ali Faneca was simply too good. Jeff Horn climbs off the canvas in the 3rd, and then he knocks him out in the 6th.
Jeff Horn, the man cut in his 6th round.
You've heard it all before, how the quiet kid who only took up boxing because he was being picked on at school beats all the odds and ends up fighting for a world crown in his hometown against the biggest name boxer to ever light up these shores. This time it's for real.
Oh, what a beautiful piece it was, courtesy of Foxtel Main Event. You can still get the fight 131-999, and thank you to Steve Crawley and the team at Fox for that, because that was absolutely brilliant, a brilliant way to get into chat about the biggest sporting event in Australia at the moment, Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn, and live from Brisbane, joining us on the line, Brent Reed. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL, old mate.
Hello, boys.
Hey, Reedy, what a junket for you up there. You've been up there for about a week now. What does your lovely family think when you just take off on these junkets?
I've worked very, very hard, mate. It's been flat out up here. I tell you what, my wife understands. Well, I thought she did until I spoke to her about half an hour ago. I got an absolute bake from her. So anyway.
Yeah. How's the build-up been up there, Reedy? Obviously, a huge fight, especially for Horn. But how's his preparation been? Is he obviously, he'd have to go in confident.
Yeah, well, I've talked a good game, haven't they? I mean, all week it's been, it's been an amazing build-up, obviously. And I talked a very confident game, Jeff Horn has in his camp. We'll see what happens when the fight starts. But it's been a great start for the Aussies here, because every Aussies who's fought so far has won. So hopefully that's an omen for what's coming our way in the next hour or so.
Yeah, what have you made of Manny Pacquiao's preparation? I know he's had an Australian there, George Kambosos, who's actually a ranked fighter at the moment, so he's taking it pretty seriously.
Oh, no doubt he is, and I think he takes every fight he has pretty seriously, Manny Pacquiao. And again, they've talked a good game too, and we actually went to the footy on Friday night, and Freddie Roach, who's his trainer, came in the box with us for about an hour and was obviously telling us about when he trained Mike Tyson and all these other guys, but he was talking about Manny, and he said Manny's in great shape. He's got a bit of his meanness back, and he's ready to go.
It was interesting reading the paper today. They were actually saying that Mike Tyson used to turn up to fights and training stone, so he does have a fair bit in common with Maroon.
But just he told us that yarn on Friday night. It was quite amusing. He said he pushed Mike Tyson so hard he made him blow up, and Tyson thought he could finish at that point. But he said, no, you've got to come back in and finish the session off. The next day, Mike Tyson's planted one on Freddie's chin. Freddie said it was okay, never went down. I showed him how tough I was, and after that, he got Tyson's respect.
Hey, what about the fight today, Reedy? Obviously, we're hearing different tactical ploys coming out of both sides. Out of, I guess, Horn, they're saying that a lot of people are saying that he should get out there and try and mix it up early, and he's a puncher's chance and can try and knock Pacquiao out. But there's a lot of other people saying he needs to use his youth and probably inexperience just to stay out of the way for a while and try and get it in the later rounds. And then from the Pacquiao camp, they're saying that if he doesn't knock, he needs to knock Horn out to get some credibility because he hasn't knocked anyone out since 2009. And if he doesn't put in a good performance, it could be his last fight.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much we can sort of read into what everyone said this week. I'd be surprised if Jeff came out and tried to knock him out early. I think Jeff will try and find his feet a bit. I mean, it's a baking hot day up here. The pace, I think they want to pace themselves a little bit. It's going to be quite taxing in this weather if it goes the whole the distance. So I reckon Jeff will probably take his time, find his range, and pick up, I guess, the speed of the fight, because this is a completely different fight to anything he's ever been in before. He's had 17 pro fights, but never even close to against someone of Manny's quality. So I think he'll take his time and try and work his way into the fight, and then he'll try and load up later on to try and finish Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, it's a massive fight, isn't it, Reedy? Because it's being shown live into America through ESPN over there. So everyone will be watching this, and all the talk around obviously the McGregor and Mayweather fight has dominated. But this being shown live, it's a big chance for Jeff Horn if he can get the upset.
Well, I just saw something on social media saying this is one of the top five events that's being searched or trending on Google in America today. So that's how big it is over there. I think they expect about over 10 million people to be watching this fight. It's going to the 90 million homes on ESPN. For Jeff Horn, if he can win and win well, I mean, America becomes his oyster, really. And this division, there's some massive fights over there for him if he can crack the American market, and some really big money. So from that perspective, the future's basically paved with gold for Jeff Horn if he can win this fight.
Sunday Triple M NRL, we're talking to Brent Reed about the Pacquiao fight in Brisbane. Reedy, now you're going in the direction where I wanted to take this now in terms of money. Can you tell me how much money somebody like Manny Pacquiao would make out of a fight like today, and how much Jeff would make, and sort of what sort of money will be grossed over the whole thing?
Well, so there's been projections that it might gross over $30 million or around the $30 million mark. Manny, there's been talk he's getting $10 million. I don't think it's that high, but I think it's in that vicinity. I don't think it's the $10 million, but it's pretty close. And just guarantee $500,000. And I think he gets some sweetness depending on the pay-per-view audience and the crowd numbers and all that sort of stuff. So he'll get over $500,000. Manny will get close to $10 million. But apparently the fight for the city of Brisbane, they've basically made, it's generated about $20 million for the local economy because the hotels are sold out. People are obviously coming from everywhere to watch this fight. So I would suggest if the fight happens again, it could happen if Jeff wins, there's a rematch clause. And that'll probably happen in November. I reckon Brisbane will be right in for it again.
You said you spent some time with Freddie Roach, the trainer of Manny, over the last week or so, Rudy. What's on the cards now for Pacquiao? Obviously, does he listen to Freddie closely enough that if he doesn't perform well in this fight, not only, I guess, knock Horn out, but if he doesn't perform up to scratch, is there the plans of retirement on the cards at all?
Yeah, I think Freddie would like to see that. He sort of indicated that if Manny doesn't or loses and doesn't fight well, that maybe he'd like to see Manny retire. Manny sort of hasn't given any indication he's going to give it away. He's talked about having a few more fights, and there's some talk about him trying to get Mayweather again, but you know, I can't see that happening. I don't think Floyd Mayweather will fight again after this McGregor fight. So, you know, obviously Freddie's saying that if Manny doesn't win this and Jeff Horn does a number on him, he should probably slip into retirement. But certainly, as I said, I don't think Manny's got any intention of giving it away after this fight.
Well, let's talk about Jeff Horn and the prospects after this fight. If he puts in a good effort, you know, similar to, like, I guess, a Rocky Balboa in those movies, if he puts in an effort and goes the distance and shows that he can fight on that big stage, is there a chance that he will go overseas and try and land another big fight?
Well, I think the promoters want to try and keep him here if they can, James Sally, because, I mean, obviously this fight's, you know, done so well in Brisbane. There's been so many people coming and pay-per-view. They're saying it's going to beat Mundine Green 1. So I think they think there's an audience here for Jeff, provided he fights well. But, you know, that American market, there's so much money over there. And as I said, there's big fights in this division. There's great champions in this division. You've got lots of Keith Thurman and Errol Spence Jr. and blokes like that. You can go to America and get big money fighting. So I think the promoters want to keep him here. And I think if he wins and wins well, or at least puts up a fight, obviously that American market opens up. And I reckon maybe the promoters will try and get some of those big name Americans out here. But it's hard to resist the dollars in America, isn't it?
Hey, Rudy, what does the boxing industry think of this fight between, obviously, McGregor coming across from Ultimate Fighting and UFC, and obviously the great Mayweather? They'd be a little bit nervous. It kind of puts the industry, it could expose the industry if McGregor comes out and puts in a good performance a little, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think most boxing people expect Floyd Mayweather to absolutely belt Conor McGregor, and you're right. I mean, if Conor McGregor happens to come out and knock a bloke out who no one in boxing could, it probably doesn't reflect well on boxing, does it? So hopefully we get a good fight here today, and obviously boxing in this country has been a bit up and down, but as I said, on the undercard, all the Aussies have won, and there's been some pretty impressive performances. I mean, a guy named David Toussaint, a middleweight, just beat Shane Mosley's son in the undercard. He's from Canberra, and there's big expectations on him, and Damien Hooper, a 2012 Olympian, fought a bit earlier and beat a pretty highly credentialed Russian guy. And after that fight, Bob Arum actually came up to Damien Hooper and said, mate, I want to get you on one of my cards in America. So there's some opportunities opening as a result of this fight for Aussie fighters. And hopefully, as I said, Jeff can have a good fight and boxing on the map is put back on the map in this country.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive 6 months, isn't it? Because Gerd spoke about that McGregor-Mayweather fight. But after that, there's also Triple G versus Canelo Alvarez. Yeah. So this is really 6 months where boxing can sort of wrestle back some of that momentum from the UFC and try and put some of these, I guess, Aussies in that American market.
It's funny because Manny got asked about the McGregor-Mayweather fight the other day and he sort of played it down. He dismissed it as a joke and said it'll be a boring fight because they'll run from each other. He said, the fight I want to see is Triple G and Canelo. He said, I'll be watching that fight, and he tipped Triple G to win it. So, you know, for the boxers, for the boxing purists, I think that's a fight they're taking really seriously. And I think they see Mayweather and McGregor as a bit of a sideshow, but, you know, Mayweather and McGregor is just going to be a monster fight in terms of pay-per-views and the hype around it, isn't it? It's going to be just huge for both sports, really.
Sunday Triple M NRL, we're speaking to Brent Reed about the Pacquiao fight in Brisbane. Mate, you know me, Reedy, I don't get serious too often, but there's a little fella from Sydney who's travelled up to Brisbane. He's done everything he could to get up there and see the fight. He's only a little bloke, and he's a massive, massive Manny Pacquiao fan. He's got posters and he's got DVDs, and he'd love to get a photo on Pacquiao's knee. His name's Paul Kent, so if you could do anything like that.
I bumped into that little bloke last night at the Brecon right. Creek Hotel, actually. He was in fine form, let me tell you. He regaled us with some yarn, so I can't repeat them. It was unbelievable.
Now, before you go, Reedy, do you have any league mail for us, mate? We're hearing all sorts of stories about Robbie Rocco changing camps midstream and young Connor Watson signing with the Tigers.
Yeah, I actually don't have maroon. I mean, Robbie Rocco looks as though he's bound for Melbourne. They haven't announced that yet, but I know the South Sydney announced Dean Britt. So, I mean, that was part of a swap deal, as I understand it. So I'm not sure the hold-up is Robbie Rockow and Connor Watson. I mean, I think the West Tigers is on the money. I expect him to go there. I'm not sure what that means for Tui Lolahea because, as I understood it, they bought Lolahea to play fullback, but it sounds like they're buying Watson to play fullback. So if I'm Tui Lolahea, I'm probably not overly happy about that result because, obviously, Josh Reynolds is going there next year to play 5-8. So... I'm not sure how he'll feel about that, but Connor Watson, a good signing, I reckon, for the West Tigers, even though obviously the Roosters got absolutely smashed yesterday.
All right, Reedy, well, we'll let you go, mate. You're there in your hometown of Brisbane, the beautiful city of Brisbane, where you played, of course, soccer first grade. Are you able to walk around the Queen Street Mall without getting mobbed? What's the story?
Well, funnily enough, didn't the memories come flooding back when I walked on the Suncorp Stadium maroon, some of my finest hours out here? I'm not sure. I think there are a few less people here when I played here, to be fair. Like about 40,000 less.
Good on you, Reedy, mate. Well, you enjoy the fight, mate, and we'll catch up with you later in the day.
Cheers, boys.
Good on you, Brent Reed, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. It's thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. We'll speak to Paul Kent, too, in the course of the afternoon. If it happens in the fight, we'll let you know when and where and what. We're going to talk about Saturday Rugby League. There were some big games yesterday, as there was on Friday. But thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, here are the highlights from the Sharkies-Roosters game yesterday on the Central Coast.
Thanks to Cbus. Whether you're on the tools or in the office, Cbus is built to last. Triple M NRL highlights.
Here goes Bird for the line. He gets over, but does he get it down? Yeah, well, he's claiming a try.
He's got it down.
Lukey Keary puts a neat little kick in. Tufo chases it through and scores a cracking good Roosters.
Wow. Maloney, now he goes left. Then he gets it back to Val Holmes. Open up for Val, and he goes right through and puts it down under the sticks. Sturlo gets it away from that. Oh, they opened up for Madison, and he scores the easiest of tries out of absolutely nothing, Pete. Graham gets a pass away to Latelli, and Sasaya Fecky out of nothing, Pete. They're going to score a wonderful try, the Sharks. Left goes to Townsend, and then Graham, and then Latelli. Latelli hangs on and goes over in the corner for the Sharks. Bird gets a pass out to Fecky, or Beal, I beg your pardon, from one side to the other. The Sharkies score a beautiful try. Here goes Lukey Lewis over the halfway. Is he going to have the pace?
He is.
The 30, over the 20. He's still going right out of the post again. Lukey Lewis, Latelli, and he gets it away to Fecky down the wing. Passes it back inside to Latelli.
That's not home.
Who comes around. And I think that's going to be a try.
Yep.
Latelli gets one on a stroke of full time on the Beaumont Tiles scoreboard. Sharks 44, Roosters 12.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to ANZ Stadium. Our game this afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Rabbitohs and the Panthers. Panthers having won four of their last five. It all changed for the Panthers in that Warriors game, which we called so many weeks ago. But it should be a good game this afternoon. People flocking in already. A beautiful Sydney day. We'll get to that at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Now, for Tyre Power scores so far, Eels 13, Dogs 12, Titans 20, Dragons 10, Storm 42, Broncos 12. We've had Manly 26, Warriors 22, Cowboys 31, Raiders 18. And the game we'll talk about now, Sharks 44, over the Roosters 12. Central Coast, beautiful venue for rugby league. Great to have such a big game there yesterday. And joining us on the line, the captain of the Sharkies and a member of the Triple M call team, Paul Gallen. Welcome to Sunday Triple M, old mate.
Thanks, buddy. It was a good win yesterday.
It was, Gal. And I just want to start on something like that. Wasn't it wonderful to see 20,000 at Central Coast and, geez, a lot of them cheering for the Sharkies?
Yeah, it was funny. At the end of the game, a lot of the crowd was still there when we were walking around and thanking them all and all cheering. So when we ran out, we got a pretty big boo. So we thought it was mainly the Roosters, but at the end of the game, as you saw, there was plenty of Sharkies fans there. And it was a good ground to play. There's a lot of corporate boxes there, both sides of the ground, and obviously having 20,000 there was a good atmosphere.
Hey, Gal Gerz, mate, congratulations. Outstanding by your boys yesterday. Probably the game that you needed 2 weeks ago against Manly. Obviously, you guys this year have sort of been up and down, been able to sort of get your way through and some scrappy wins. And late yesterday, you just put it all together, and that must give you some confidence moving forward.
Yeah, look, as you said, we've been winning games throughout the year and not playing well, which I think is a sign of a good team, but our error and completion rate has just been ordinary all year, but it's actually ranked 16th in the competition, so it hasn't been ordinary. It's been terrible. And yesterday we finally put it together. We spoke about it during the week. We spoke to each other individually and told each other what we expect from each other, and obviously we saw the outcome of that yesterday. The first half we had 100% completion rate. I think we had 4 errors in the second half, which still 4 errors probably isn't ideal, but obviously that 100% completion rate in the first half really set the win up. And I thought the first 15 minutes was very close. Obviously, it's very hard through the middle there, but we just kept outworking them, and I think it showed the back end of the game, and we managed to score a lot of points.
Yeah, Gal, you know how important this origin period is and to bank wins, especially when you've got so many guys out. Is there a plan from Flano to rest some guys at the end of this series, or are you just going to go on with the team?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm going to have a chat to Flano today. We'll catch up with Savo and have a chat, but yeah, I don't know. Obviously, we've got the two wins, one against the Tigers, one against the Bulldogs without our origin players. We had the bye this week, which is a luxury, but backing up's been an issue for us. We haven't had this much representation in origin ever, basically. You know, we've probably had one or two or three players in at the most. I mean, the game three last year was a dead rubber. I think we had five in that game. So this is a bit of, it's not usual for us, and the boys are struggling to back up. So I think you know, maybe Wade Graham, Andrew Fafita and Jimmy Mullaney could probably have a look at resting them, possibly, but we'll just have to wait and see how they pull up. We are up in the Gold Coast next week, so the boys won't have to travel an hour down the road from Brisbane, and we'll see how they pull up after the game.
Okay, Gal, go and enjoy the fight, mate. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
There is Paul Gallen, the captain of the Sharkies, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL, or after yesterday's massive win over the Roosters. We'll get the boys' opinions on that game. Sharks 44, Roosters 12, and Luke Lewis in game 298. Two intercept tries 2 weeks in a row. Have a listen to some of the audio of that.
Oh, it's intercepted by Luke Lewis again. Here goes Lukey Lewis over the halfway. Is he going to have the pace?
He is.
The 30, yep. Over the 20. He's still going right out of the post again. Lukey Lewis, two intercepts in 2 weeks. Oh, Sterlo, what about the pace of the over?
Referee blows the whistles. Here's a chance.
Here's Gordon, gets it away to Latrell Mitchell. Back inside to Keary. Keary gets out of one.
Still going.
Gets out of two. Over the 30 goes Lukey. Keary puts a neat little kick in. Tufo chases it through and scores a cracking good result.
Anyways, that's not quite the audio I wanted to play you, but it doesn't matter. It highlights what was a great game and a great result yesterday for the Sharks. 44 points to 12 over the Roosters. 20-12 at half time. I guess it was still anybody's game, but the Sharkies just came out in the second half and absolutely blew them off the park. Great back row. Another great game from Maloney. And Sterlo made the comment yesterday, Gerds, we all know they've got some flashy backs, but some of them don't get a mention, and like the Feckies and the Beals and those sort of blokes.
Yeah, they were all really good yesterday, and Gal said it. You know, they set that win up in the back of their patience and their commitment in the first half. They were clinical, and that's the best way to put them. And what they do really well is they combined all different parts of their games yesterday, and that's what the really good sides do. You know, when they get in those attacking zones, you know, they get the football where it needs to go, and they've got the outside backs now. Latelli was brilliant yesterday, and the combinations out on that left side, and they just put points on. Coming out of trouble, they let their big guys do the work. In the middle of the field, their kicking game was really good. So all the different components that go to, you know, putting in a really good performance were there for the Sharks yesterday, and the Roosters, the concern is they just couldn't go with them yesterday. I know they've got Boyd out, but other than that, the Sharks just showed yesterday that, you know, when they turn it on, they're a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and we had some doubts, I guess, at the start of the year and then sometimes through the middle of the year. You know, Brayley being out, their hooking role, they had Farmanu Brown yesterday and Paulo filled in a little bit there. But, you know, they ran for nearly 1,900 metres, which is massive compared to the Roosters' 1,200 metres. So I think, you know, like Gal said, they're going to have to rest some guys if they're going to get this charge right for the finals, because you come out of an Origin series and you'd know, Gerds, after you come out, it's not so much the getting up and playing, it's just the training day to day and knowing that you've got to go back into that grind. And it's such a fast game, Origin, that you can come back. I remember we lost 5 in a row out of the 11 series, so it puts some pressure back on you as defending premiers. You're still getting everyone's best game. And sometimes you're just rocking up and you might not be there as you thought you might be.
I think the fortunate thing for Cronulla is, I mean, look, Melbourne have obviously, they earned the right to rest their players, but they rested most of the guys who are, you know, 33 and turning for 34 this year. So yeah. I understand that. Cronulla have got Maloney, who's probably, you know, early 30s. So yeah. He's a guy they might give some time to. But the young guys coming out, Bird and Fifita and these guys in the prime of their career, I mean, they should be okay. I think, if I read between the lines through the week when Flanagan came out and said we need to stop worrying about Origin, I think it's probably affected these young guys coming back a little bit too, getting too involved in Origin and not bringing that performance that's required back at club level on the weekend. And they've been putting a lot of focus on their Origin. But I think yesterday was a sign that, you know, it was either going to go either way after that Manly game. They got the kick in the bum that they needed.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, showed yesterday.
Now, I'm hearing James Seguiar will be back next week as well for them. So that'll give them another boost and a regular hooker. So they'll have a chance to be able to, I guess, rest some guys. Look, you spoke about that. I reckon guys like Wade Graham and Andrew Fifita, whilst they are in the middle of their career, I think they do need a rest. It's the first time they would have played 3 games and had that big. But they've been getting everyone's best game, Gerd. So, you know, they have been in tight games, and their completion rate yesterday was the best they've had in a long time. So I think they've understood now that that's the blueprint if they want to play well. The other question was the Roosters.
Yeah.
They were disappointing. I mean, you know, they've been on everyone's lips. They've been favourites for probably them and Melbourne. But they come out yesterday in what was a big game for them, and just couldn't turn it on. The only one they had missing was Boyd Cordner. So their outside backs, I think, are a worry defensively if they're going to go deep into the competition. Whilst they have a lot of attacking flair, I think sometimes they can get caught out in Manu and Mitchell on the edges there, which creates some problems. So they're going to have to look at that going forward. But don't take away from the Sharks. But back to Luke Lewis's try. Two weeks in a row. Is he a tad offside, do you reckon?
Look, yesterday, 100% yesterday. I think the week before, the one where it went from one side of the ruck to the other, he had enough time to sort of read that play and get in between. But yesterday, it was just a flat pass from dummy half, even though it was a wide ball. There's no way in the world, and Louis's quick off the mark, but there's no way in the world that he could have got himself between the player and the ball when he would have had to run about 12 metres in like 2 seconds.
Well, you know, he's into his magic and he's a magician, but geez, that was...
Hang on, but he's a magician?
Yeah, he loves his magic, Louis.
Well, I've done a couple of corporates with him. I didn't know that. I'll have to get him to bring his rabbit along and his hat next time.
During Origin, how he filled in some of the days. He had me mesmerised. Obviously, you know, small things.
See, this is the stuff I need to know, Sal, because people will say to me, who can you bring with you to the corporate? This adds to his value. You're telling me he can do magic tricks?
Luke Lewis can do magic tricks, and he's very, very good at them. Card tricks, coin tricks, all that kind of stuff. So, but 2 weeks in a row to be able to run that, and you know, I'd be fair in saying that he's in career best form, Gerds. And as you get older, you know, you start looking after your body a lot better, and he's had a good run with injuries. So is this the best you've played with him? Is this the best you've seen him play for consistently a long period of time?
Oh, gee, it's hard. Look, when he was at the he went to the Sharks and he was playing in the back row for Australia and New Zealand and New South Wales, gee, I thought he was outstanding back then. So, look, he's certainly in great form. The fact that he doesn't have to worry about representative stuff probably really helps. And I think, as you know, Sarah, when you get older, your preparation becomes so much more clinical. And you really know how you got to get yourself ready to play. And I think he's in that tight. He knows that he wants to go another year. So his form's just absolutely outstanding. Probably doesn't have the same dynamic sort of defence that he used to have. He used to really be able to whack. Yeah. He still can, but he's just a really smart footballer these days. He knows where to be and when to be there, and I think that's showing.
Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Brighton's Lawyers doing the scores, thanks to Tyre Power from yesterday. But right now at Holden Cup, it's halftime, and the Knights lead the Tigers 18 points to 6 yesterday. The other games, let me go to the last one, which was the Cowboys 31 over the Raiders 18. Of course, Tamari Martin making his debut for the Cowboys. Where do you want to start with this, Gerds? Tamari Martin, or what the bloody hell's wrong with the Raiders at the moment?
Well, I think all the talk's going to be about not so much Martin, but Morgan. I mean, Morgan was basically, there's been a lot of talk about who's going to replace Jonathan Thurston at 5'8", for next Wednesday or Wednesday week. And it's been talk. Daly Cher Evans was, you know, had the opportunity yesterday. I thought he played really well, but it was there for Morgan to take. And I think that he showed last night at 5'8", and driving that side around the park, that he's going to be the man to take that job. I don't know what's going on with the Raiders, to be honest. I don't think anyone does. Maroon lapses in concentration at the moment. I just don't think their halves have gone. We saw where they got to the back end of last year. I just don't think their halves and a lot of the players have taken the step that we all thought that they would after another preseason. And they're really struggling for cohesion. Their ball movement's really poor. They're good when they're sort of going forward, but as soon as they need to set up for sort of set pieces and things like that, they can't compete with the better sides.
Yeah, back to your question about the Maroons, I would go with Cherry Evans at 5'8", only for the fact that Michael Morgan has made that bench spot for Australia and Queensland on his own. He's able to come on and play anywhere. If you go with a Cherry Evans off the bench, he can only come in and play 5'8". So you're having to make a change there unnecessarily to put Morgan into the middle for defence to be able to create some leg speed around the ruck and pop up. So I think Queensland should put Cherry Evans in. He's probably in, you know, for a long time, he's in career best form for, you know, since he pretty much backflipped from going to the Titans. So I'm happy to see him playing well. Back to you, again, on the Raiders, I just think they look rudderless. They go out there and play. They're one of the most frustrating teams to watch play because they've got so much talent and so much has been made about Lilia and Rapana on that edge. And when they come in the middle, they look exciting and you want them to do something. But last night when the game was on the line and you felt like they were coming for the Cowboys, they just looked leaderless. They didn't know where they wanted to get to their points, what they wanted to do with their kicks. Aiden Caesar last night I thought was really poor in that fact. And when he's not controlling a team, when your halfback's not controlling a team and you have a running 5'8 like Blake Austin, it really takes him out of the game because he can't get the ball. So I think they really need to sit down. And it's surprising because Ricky Stewart's been such a good organiser in his career and, you know, one of those coaches that's always had a halfback that pushes his team into the right spots, that Aiden Caesar hasn't taken on that role. And as you said, Gerds, you summed it up perfectly. There's some guys down in Canberra at the moment that haven't taken that step of what it takes to be a contender in this competition.
They look ill-disciplined, but and they look frustrated. And I think they expect things to happen, and when they don't happen, they don't handle that, and they don't handle when other teams sort of surge. They seem to compound errors and discipline, and then all of a sudden they put themselves under a lot of pressure, and they don't seem to want to absorb that. They always just want to attack out of that. They don't have the element of the game in which you need at first grade just to sit there and know that, you know, things aren't going your way. You need to be in that moment, and it's going to turn. They always try and flick a switch and get themselves out of those situations and not work their way out of them.
And sometimes you can do that after you have a successful year. So last year, that was all coming off for them. They were throwing flick passes and attacking their way out of problems. But they missed Hodgson last night, who gives them so much control and direction around the ruck. But like you said, Gerds, they just cannot just keep throwing the ball away and turning it over cheaply. You know, they've got so much talent there. Whiten at the back, I still don't think he gets enough ball in the right areas. He's so dangerous running, but it's a worrying sign for Cameron because they've got so much talent down there. And they've probably, for me, been the biggest disappointment this year after what we thought they'd go to and go on to. And I thought they'd be a top four team this year.
Now, from disappointments to a team that's just blowing everybody away at the moment, Manly are now into equal second position. They've won 5 straight games on Sunday Triple M NRL. And yesterday, Sally, they gave the Warriors a start. The Warriors got out by 16. But the Manly just cruised back and took control of that game. And I know that we want to talk about Manly, but I know you've got some thoughts on the Warriors as well.
Yeah, look, well, the Warriors, you know, they're hard watching because they've got so much talent across the board with Foran and Johnson and all these guys there, and they've got some young guys coming up, two of us, Ashek, and I think when they all went together and went to the Warriors and put it on paper, you thought this could be a real contender that could give some side some trouble, but they just don't have the consistency. Shaun Johnson, whilst everyone loves the sidestep and flashy plays, just doesn't seem to have a real grasp on the game management at the moment. Kieran Foran's going to be sorely missed next year, so they jumped out to a great start. But when you're 16-0 up, you need to really put the foot down on the throat and really control that game. Go on, keep kicking early, start winning it with your defence and be happy to win 16-0. I think sometimes the Warriors, when they're chasing the game, they obviously, you know, come up with a lot of errors. But when they're in front, they just don't know how to hold a lead. But to Manly's credit, yeah, they're the way that they're playing as a team, Trent Barrett's really got them all going in the same direction, and they're not playing complicated. It's allowing guys like Blake Green to shine, and he's just a game manager.
I was concerned about Manly yesterday. Obviously, there was a lot of focus for them on that game against Cronulla. They really wanted to establish themselves as premiership contenders last week over there at Southern Cross Group Stadium. It was a huge win, and it would have taken a lot of emotion, a lot of energy, and I just sort of come down from that, travelling over to Perth, probably not coming up against a Warriors side where, you know, they're a hard side to motivate to play. It was a wet conditions, and so I wasn't that surprised with the start. And then, you know, to watch the Warriors capitulate again, I wasn't that surprised with that either. But to Manly's credit, they really stuck to their plan after about the first 20 minutes when they got themselves back into the match. And there's a lot of belief there at the moment. What impresses me about them is they can win a lot of different ways. They're probably one of the best attacking sides from their own half in the competition. Their ability to break out of trouble in transition and come away with points is better than probably anyone else in the comp at the moment. And as Sowie said, their halves are in really good form. Tapau and he's leading the pack really well, and those Trbojevic brothers are just out there playing footy every week. They're great to watch, and it's great to see him up in the top of the ladder.
Yeah, Jake Trbojevic will join us after 1 o'clock today to talk about Manly, and we'll get him on the phone because the guys are still in Perth. But there is a full look at the scores from yesterday, and we do that thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. You buy four selected Pirelli Cinturato tyres, you get a Caltex Starcash card valued at up to $100. So that sounds like something you want to get involved in. Holden Cup, Newcastle 18, West Tigers 6. 3 minutes into the second half there. We'll follow the fight, the Pacquiao fight in Brisbane. We'll get your score updates too from that Tigers Knights game as well. It's all coming up on Sunday Triple M NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to ANZ Stadium, Brisbane. At some point, we'll be losing you for the AFL this afternoon, so make sure you download the app now at triplem.com.au. That way, if you want to listen to rugby league, you still can in the beautiful city of Brisbane. Now, an interesting article in the paper today, the telly, about players' salaries. And the man that wrote this wonderful article is a man by the name of Michael Karayannis. He's on the line from the Daily Telegraph. Michael, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL, mate.
Hello, Maroon and fellas. How are you all going?
Mate, we are fantastic. Haven't seen your trivia for a while, Michael. What's doing? You're not doing trivia anymore.
Not for a bit now, Maroon. Not for a bit. The questions are getting too easy.
Well, as long as you weren't cheating, mate, that's the main thing. Now, this article, I just want to paraphrase it a bit before I go to you and get the thoughts of the fellas. It says, it's in the telly today, Sunday telly, the NRL will become a millionaire's factory after offering a staggering 48% pay rise to its players. The offer made in ongoing negotiations with the Rugby League Players Association will take average players, average salaries beyond $300,000. It also opens the way for every club to have $2 or $3 million players. But then it says, but the massive deal comes with a stern warning. If you want any more, you'll send the game broke. Are we getting close to that point, Michael? The game broke?
Well, it depends on where the salary cap ends up, Maroon. At the moment, what the NRL have offered is something that's probably affordable from their belief. There's not a cash cow for the right or wrong reasons. The NRL doesn't have a lot of money just sitting there idle. So it's not as intense as the way the cricket's headed, obviously, at the moment. But we could potentially see that outcome if there's no resolution in the next couple of months.
Michael, just to clear this up, so 8.3 was the initial offer that the NRL came back to the Players Association, and then the talk is now that it will be nudged up to 8.8 million per season.
Yep.
Then you write here that it goes to 10 million in 2022.
Yeah.
And then a little bit further down, it says next year the cap will be 9.5. Now, is that relevant because there's 30-man squads that are going to be in the NRL next year as opposed to the 25-man squads this year? How does that work out?
Yeah, so the $8.8 million is in player payments, and then on top of that, there's a few other things like motor vehicle payments and veteran player allowances, and plus there's $300,000 to spend on six rookies, which would take the squads to 36 players.
Mm-hmm.
The first offer, which the NRL was pretty much a lowball offer, which clubs were shocked at, and the Rugby League Players Association were shocked at as well, because that included things like RLPA fees and welfare officers and all these crazy things, and that shouldn't have been included in the cap. So all those things have gone, and they've upped their offer by about $500,000 based on for next year, based on their original offer, and it increments up until $10 million in 2022.
Yeah, Mick, with all this talk, mate, it's surprising to me that the NRL can come out and say that the players are the main part of the market, but they're going to be broke if they give more money to the players. Is there a plan, I guess, in the future for expansion to be able to get some more players, or is this to take expansion off the board if we're going to pay so much money to the current clubs?
So I don't think there's going to be any moves for expansion in the short term at all. If that's going to happen, then the clubs are going to have to... So at the moment, next year, clubs are going to get $13 million each, and they have to be self-sustainable on that $13 million. To have an extra club, that slice of the pie is going to be cut, and I don't see the clubs lining up and saying, we're going to have less of that $13 million to get an extra team into the competition. The only way a team will move from... So all the talk this week is about moving a Sydney team. The only way that will happen is if they go to the NRL and say, we can't afford to pay our players, or we can't afford to pay our bills anymore once they get the $13 million. The NRL will not bail out clubs anymore. They're sick of it. They've done it for too long. That's not going to happen. So they're giving them $13 million, and if you can't spend that wisely, the NRL will relocate you.
Gee, there's going to be some focus on some administration then, Michael, isn't there? And basically, that's the safety net. So the safety net's now going to be removed for clubs from the NRL. So what does that actually mean in relation to clubs that won't be able to afford possibly to pay their players at the end of each season, that they could then become moved or as Gowie said, expanded in other areas?
Well, the option will either be the NRL will say to them, well, you can move or you can die. Essentially, that's the only way that's going to happen. The NRL aren't going to bail them out anymore. If they can't sustain a business with $13 million, more money than they've ever got ever before, they don't deserve to be running the side. And that's what the NRL's point of is at the moment. They're sick of bailing out the Titans and Newcastle and the Dragons in recent years. And they just don't have the money for that anymore. So they're saying, well, here's $13 million. And it's important to note that they're going to make a cap on football club spending as well, what they spend in terms of off-field, because that's the big arms race at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where clubs are spending a ridiculous amount of money on trying to, with the latest gizmos and gadgets and trying to get an edge that way. So they're going to cap that. There's going to be a salary cap. So really, they're going to need to manage their finances. Otherwise, they'll be told to find a new home.
So you spoke about they're going to be capping the off-field expenses. So in what way? What did you mean by that? Explain that to the listeners. Because if a team, if my team wants to go out and spend money to get ahead, and I know teams like Bulldogs with Des Hasler, he'd be having all the latest, equipment so that they can get a head start on every other team. Tell the listeners what kind of expense a team would spend on that, and how are they going to cap it?
Yeah, so they're still working through that at the moment, Sal. We don't have the full details, but it's going to be in terms of, I guess basically how much money teams can spend on support staff. So I'm sure you've seen in your time how much that's grown off the field. So they're trying to stop the arms race. That's what the NRL are trying to do. They're trying to stop clubs from outdoing each other by spending a ridiculous amount of money and not being able to, losing money. At the moment, only two clubs make money in the NRL. I think there was about $54 million worth of club losses last year, and it's not a sustainable business. There's no business that can sustain to lose more than $50 million from 14 of their 16 clubs. So this is what it's trying to stop. Exactly the nuts and bolts of it, I'm not across that yet because I haven't finalised it, but it's going to be interesting because, as you said, there's clubs that can afford to spend that money, and their stance are going to be, well, if we can afford to it and we're responsible businesses, why can't we?
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. We're speaking to Michael Carayannis from the Sunday Telegraph. Brisbane, just get ready. You'll be leaving us in about 1 minute. You're going to the AFL, so make sure you download that app now, triplem.com.au.
So, Michael, why did the NRL go public with this firstly, and do you think the clubs are going to go with it? I mean, there's a fair bit of risk coming their way if they accept these terms.
In what respect? In terms of...
In terms of taking the $13 million, but then not having the safety net of the NRL there in case something happens.
I guess the lure of the $13 million was too much to resist.
This hasn't been agreed upon by the clubs, though, has it?
Well, they're going to get the $13 million, yeah. That's all agreed upon. They'll get the $13 million for the next 5 years each year. But the NRL have said, as part of the condition is, don't come to us and ask for any more.
So in the $13 million, how much of that is going to be the salary cap?
Probably depends on what the final figures will be, but it will be around $9.5 million for next year.
All right. Well, listen, what about, this is the thing that interests me here, Michael, is this whole thing about relocating clubs. So you're saying either make the $13 million work or relocate. So what happens if you relocate? You've still only got the $13 million. What is a club supposed to do? Relocate, settle in on $13 million? How do they know how long it's going to take them to get corporate support?
I'm sure if a club was forced to, or if a club relocated, I'm sure the NRL would help them in the terms of a relocation, but they just won't prop up because there's too many clubs in Sydney, right? I think that everyone can agree to that. So they're not going to prop up clubs in Sydney when they can use that money and explore a new market. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that hypothetically a club has to go to Perth, the NRL will have systems in place to help them relocate, but they're just not going to help them in their current market because they failed in that market.
Okay, mate. Well, look, we're going to let you go because we're about to lose Brisbane. So I'll let you go, mate. And thank you so much for your time, Michael Carayannis from the telly.
Pleasure, fellas.
Good on you, mate. There he is joining us. I love reading what he writes in the Sunday Telegraph and the telly across the week. He's a great man, Michael Carayannis, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. Brisbane is going now, so get the app, triplem.com.au. You're off to the AFL. And for everybody else, you'll just have a little bit of NRL. I wanted to ask Michael, I didn't get a chance to. I just saw him on the footy show there on Channel 9 talking about the kerfuffle caused through the week, Gerds, about promoting this Tigers Knights game, from a marketing point of view, as a battle for the wooden spoon. Did you have any thoughts or how do you feel about that?
It probably wasn't the best way for the NRL to promote the game, but, you know, I think everyone's of the same opinion that it probably is going to be battle for the wooden spoon, and it was just another way of getting it out there and probably getting us talking about it like we are. I didn't have a massive problem with it. I mean, I don't think the West Tigers fans and the Newcastle Knights fans and the players and the administration would have necessarily been too keen on it, but from our perspective, I mean, if the fact of the matter is, it probably is battle for the wooden spoon, and they've promoted it that way.
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? A headline where everyone's thinking it, and they've just come out and said it. So they've copped a little bit of a flack from both sets of supporters. But it's interesting to hear what he said there about the $13 million and what Gerd said. Like, so a club, if they can't make it work, that's it. They've accepted the $13 million. Yeah. They're on their own. Like, just seems weird to me that we've been around since 1908. Yes, there probably is too many teams in Sydney, but you can't just pick up and relocate. For me, I think the sample size in Perth is too small. I think you need to be able to see, you know, rather than one or two games. And look, the Central Coast had a massive crowd yesterday, but that's the only football they might see for once or twice a year. So I wrote an article this week where I think, you know, expansion should be another team in Queensland near Brisbane, because 40% of people up there don't like the Broncos and they want something to cheer. And it's the best place to watch rugby league. So if you're going to expand, go up there and have Suncorp filled twice a week or alternate weeks all year round. It's the best place to watch footy. And I reckon a New Zealand team, a second team in New Zealand, attack that rugby union market. I just think going to Perth and going over there and seeing what the Western Force have done, it's not a viable option for the NRL.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, when you talk about the salary cap, if it's $9.5 million that's going to be given to sort of the players and those and the expenditure in relation to young guys coming through and senior player allowances and those sorts of things, what's that leaving? $3.5 million to run the footy club. So most clubs now, I think, will post between $4 to $5 million annually. I think Penrith, I think, posted about $4.9 million this year to run their footy club. Yeah. So that's going to leave them in a hole of $1.5 or $2 million, which for Penrith isn't a big deal. But there's clubs out there now that are going to obviously struggle to run their club for that sort of money. And then obviously if won't have the benefit of have a strong lease club behind them, so they won't be able to throw extra funds at it. So straight away, those clubs will be disadvantaged.
And how much of those clubs, like everyone's this week's talking about West Tigers, move them? Because if they were sitting fourth on the ladder, we wouldn't be talking about West Tigers. It's got to be, you know, they might have a down year, but they've gone through everything. They've lost some of their juniors. Now they've restocked the shelves by getting some players in, some quality players in next year. So that might be a different story next year.
It's going to come down to finance, though, Sarah. I mean, I think Justin Pascoe came out a couple of weeks ago and said they're in the best financial position they've been in a long time. So I think it's more so than, you know, results. I think it's going to come down to, the financial status of most clubs. And they'll probably be the first club, if this is the case and everyone agrees to this, well, then it's the perfect opportunity for expansion. And the fans and obviously the players and the coaching staff won't be happy about it, but if your administrators aren't running the club as efficiently as it needs to be run, well then the consequences could be that your club then needs to pick up and go somewhere else. I mean, there's a huge amount of pressure now on the administrators of these clubs. It needs to be run seriously as a business.
Back to your point, Gerd, you were sort of saying, do they just get one chance? You know, do they just get one bad year? They might have, you know, a bridge there where they can try and get the second year. They might only be a million off, like you said, for the Panthers, so it's going to be interesting.
All right, Sunday Triple M, NRL, Triple M rocks the footy thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. We've got Ryan Girdler, Jamie Soud and Maroon in the chair today. Our number is 133353. After 1 o'clock, Gordon Tallis live from the Gordon Tallis Cup in Townsville, and Manly flying high at the moment. You Manly fans, Jake Trebojevic joins us live from Perth next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks. Sunday Arvo footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.